get the impression that at least 90% of them are asleep. Especially at this hour, you don't want to disturb anybody. We're up. We're awake. Or at least we're up. But then on the other... But I don't want to get controversial here at this stage of the game already. Sometimes you feel like, there's great crowds of them out there that are still slumbering away. And maybe they are. At the end of the day, I'm standing along the sidelines. A great political rally, a big parade is moving past. Last week, thousands of people. Guys standing up on the backs of open cars. Have you ever had the sneaking desire to stand up in the back seat of a convertible waving at a crowd? Yes, well, this happened to a friend of mine, who inadvertently was driving along a side street, and the next thing he knew, and this was in Tunisia, he found himself in a parade. And they were throwing flowers at his Opel. And the next thing, of course, that happened was the attempted assassination, which we will not go into at this point. This is for every plus, there's a minus. But I'm standing in this crowd, and this was on 5th Avenue, 6th Avenue, one of the big streets in New York, and millions of people had gathered to pay homage to one of the great men of our time. And several of the great men of our time, in fact. And great crowds were roaring and cheering, and you'll appreciate this, Ted. Yeah, hooray, hoo, whoopee, wow. And I was swept up in the thing, you know, and I'm hollering, whoopee, wow. And the guys are throwing bits of confetti and all sorts of pieces of ticker tape and one thing and another. Incidentally, they don't even have tickers anymore, do they? There's a company over in Jersey that makes nothing but ticker tape for parades. It's printed all old stock quotations that are all high. But that's another story. Makes everybody feel nice and comfortable when it comes floating down out of the sky. I love the way these things are reported in the paper. A spontaneous demonstration swept New York City. And of course, for days before, guys are passing out great big bags of stuff to throw out. You know that along 5th Avenue, lower 5th Avenue, they keep a permanent supply of stuff to throw out of the windows in case of an emergency parade that breaks out spontaneously. They break out the emergency rations and want to be caught without any waste paper. So, Terry, I've often thought that if anybody ever emptied any of the waste baskets around here out the windows, there'd be some wild paraders. Just a matter of a passing remark. But nevertheless, I'm in this crowd, and they're throwing and hollering and cheering and throwing paper and all sorts of things going on, and people blowing horns, and there's a kid passing out pieces of paper. And I expected the pieces of paper, of course, to be about the political candidate involved. And I get one of these pieces of paper, and I'm cheering the guy in the open convertible and the other guys in the open convertible with him, and the whole thing is going on, you know, the big hoop-dee-doo, and I take the paper and I read it. By George, I'm in the presence of truth again. And the old paper says, if you need advice, read this circular. Sister Anna Maria, special spiritual reader and advisor, card readings. See the woman who knows. Right in the middle of a big political parade, I get this piece of paper. See the woman who knows. She comes from Egypt, land of miracles. Bring your problems to me. I will help you solve them. Advice on business, marriage, love affairs, politics. Are you facing difficult problems? Poor health, money, or job trouble? Would you like more happiness, more success, and good fortune in life? Well, if you have any of these problems, others like them, dear friend, then there is a wonderful bit of news of our remarkable reader who is helping thousands through glorious new happiness and joy in their lives. Gives never-failing advice on all affairs of life, such as love, courtship, marriage, divorce, business transactions of all kinds. Never fails to reunite the separated, cause speedy and happy marriages, overcome enemies, rivals, lovers' quarrels, evil habits, stumbling blocks, and bad luck of all kinds. If you want true and sound advice, see Sister Anna Maria today. Tomorrow may be too late. Reading half price with this ad. Come one, come all. By George, it was the greatest political speech I'd ever read. Standing up with the car, shouting out. And beside him is standing his alter ego. And both of them are shouting out, the boy is fine! Gonna be all right! Bring all your problems, all your troubles to us. greetings, half price with this ad, folks. If you want true and sound advice, elect us. Tomorrow may be too late. November 6th to the 12th. Get your cap, baby, and swing. I can see this guy on the shoddy street on the Lower East Side at 3 o'clock in the morning, just as the cops put their hand on his shoulder. He said, "What do you mean I'm celebrating National?" 22 years of selfless, unpaid, dedicated service to the cat. That gasses me more than a gigantic election. I'm telling you, these are fascinating. And every election I've ever gone through, every election that I can remember, there were dire predictions. There were terrible feelings among everybody, most of the people I know, that this election was going to finally spell the end of it all. Finally. I mean, there would just be no hope. After this, there would be no hope of living. In fact, one of my friends was so excited, just completely involved, eyes dilated, pupils popping out. And she says, if Watanabe wins, it's my head in the oven. My head right in the oven. That's it. And I could never, you know, I'll tell you, it's a funny thing. When I heard this, I hadn't heard this phrase since the year one. And I was reminded of my Aunt Teresa. You know, every family has the nutty aunt. Or the insane cousin. I mean, the mad one. I'm not talking about the Andy Mame type. I'm talking about the kind who is mad, really angry, who causes all the problems, who causes all the rotten times whenever the family gets together. Aunt Teresa has to be handled with kid gloves. Well, we had this nutty aunt, and it would go along, you know, everybody would feel fine. It's like having Khrushchev, you know, at a cocktail party. Everybody's walking on eggs, and they're tiptoeing around in the world. Tiptoeing along. And then, of course, it would always happen. About 2 o'clock in the morning, there would be a lot of yelling in the kitchen. So, Aunt Teresa's at it. And sure enough, you're never coming back in again! And she would go tearing out and down the stairs, and that would be the end of it. And poor old Uncle Fred would be in tow, like an awash dory hanging out of the rear end of the Queen Mary. She would go tearing out. Of course, her problem psychologically went back to the year of the first great flood, when Aunt Teresa was ignored in favor of her younger sisters. And she's been nurturing this terrible, terrible grudge against all her sisters ever since, four of them. And so naturally, every time that it seems like things are going, you know, there are some people who actually literally resent enjoying themselves. I mean, this is an insult to suddenly find themselves actually enjoying them. They look around, well, this is Aunt Teresa, you see. And one of Aunt Teresa's favorite expressions was, and I'll never forget this because as a kid, it really rocked home. Because I lived in a world where people made blueberry muffins. And I can remember Aunt Teresa saying, among other things, "Okay, you just wait and see. You're going to find me with my head in the oven." Wow. It seems that in those days, there were great numbers of people putting their heads in the oven. This is just a phrase. I never heard of anybody who did. But it just was a phrase that continually was popping up. I'm leaving to New York. Come on, Fred. And she would go tearing off down the stairs. Well, this is the pre-election syndrome. I mean, the head in the oven syndrome. I mean, that's what it's all tied up with. And I can only say that unless we have terrible feelings of imminent disaster in our lives are worthless, meaningless. That if you lived in a plastic sealed envelope, bobbing up and down in your own brine, like an A&P store pickle, There would be nothing. It would be nothing. You see, you've got to have these things. And I'm completely gassed by these elections. They're wild. But the most intriguing thing that I've ever seen of an election just happened a couple of days ago. I decided to go to one of these gigantic rallies. And the fascinating thing is that all these people are hollering, "We want Fred! We want Fred! We want Fred! Bring back Fred!" And they're hollering and all the... one of the greatest lines I've heard. Funny. You know, before all these rallies now, the whole rally world has been, political world has been taken over by the showbiz people. No longer does a candidate get up there and have a great philosopher recommend them. He doesn't call on Bertrand Russell. He calls on Ronald Reagan or somebody of this ilk. All these showbiz people are up there before the main speaker comes out, the candidate. And one of the showbiz speakers, and they're always talking about what they've given up to come here for us. And one guy, a movie star type, is up there, and he's talking about another movie star type, both of whom came east to appear in the rally. He says, "Well, I wonder, you folks, I want to tell you how wonderful it is. How Jeff came all the way here, I'll tell you. You know, he's traveled night and day, and the fascinating thing about it is that you don't realize what he's given up. When Jeff came all the way, he wore the same suit, I'll never forget, the same suit for 48 hours running. It's a 2 days straight, he wore the same suit." And he's talking to an audience of guys who haven't bought a suit in 9 years. And they're all sitting there with not a dry eye in the house, by the way, when they hear this. What a wonderful thing he's doing, yeah. And that's a movie queen gets up, and she is described as having, you people don't realize why she walked for over two blocks on the street to come here. Most of these poor clowns had come by subway, canoe, boat, kayak from as far away as Teaneck, swimming the river, hand swinging from vines. She kicked, and is not, and the thing is that they're weeping. Be the first in your block, what are you waiting for, Charlie? Immediately following the news, we're going to give you a genuine palm reading.
Pepsi's light. Pepsi's bright. And every ounce of light, bright Pepsi-Cola refreshes with...
what are we trying to do? Problems and money worries, despondency. Just about to put my head in the oven here. It's always a woman, by George. I'm telling you, we're knee deep in it. We're awash. You ever had the feeling, seriously, though?
COMM, where's that?
Huh? Oh, she thought it was a commercial. I see. Now, I don't ever have the feeling that you are living in a commercial. Your whole world, your whole miserable world is a one-minute spot, and you're not quite sure what the product is you're selling. Hey, get your COVID. Hey, get your balance time. it is a thing to be mulled over here. I don't know quite what to say or how to approach it. The other night, I'm sitting in a crowd of people. We're all jabbering away. I'm only bringing this up to kind of skirt the peripheral issue. The peripheral issue is, maybe let's say the central issue, is that life is becoming more and more of a kind of episodic thing. All kinds of strange little episodes that are popping up and down. And you ever been on a small arms firing range? I'll tell you about a small arms firing range.
They give you this 45, see, and it's a very loud gun. Oh, it's terrible loud, and it jumps. And it's a very unfriendly kind of gun. And you walk along, and out of the hillsides and out of the underbrush, undergrowth, all kinds of things pop up. They just whoop, they pop up, and there's a big metal man. You go, pow, you shoot him between the eyes. Down he goes again. You walk a little further, that gigantic plastic kangaroo, pow, 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 you let go. Well, this is the way life is. I mean, it is. It's a small arms firing range. It's like a sidearms firing range, and things keep popping up, and you shoot, and you have this weapon, of course, which is very, very inadequate. Not only is the weapon inadequate, it is totally and completely inaccurate. And it could very well backfire on you, which it quite often does. It winds up by blowing you up. But nevertheless, the weapon, you see, gives you a feeling of mastery over the situation. Just gives you a feeling. This is why many people like to sit and just hold a gun in their hands. It gives you a sensation of mastery. It is a feeling of having made it somehow, of having escaped from something. Who knows what this is about, but nevertheless, there it is. Now, the things that have fascinated me about the most recent, this big thing, this political campaign, is how many people really are listening. How many people really honestly think about anything they hear? How many people are actually concerned, or is it a big game? Is it just a bigger show? Is Nixon just a bigger star, let's say, than he can't be bigger than Cary Grant, but let's say, is Nixon a bigger star than, say, Tab Hunter, say? He's a sort of in-between type. Where does Nixon rate on the star scale? I mean, do you think Nixon will ever make it in photoplay? On the other hand, where does Kennedy rate, you see? The whole thing is it's a kind of a superstar. And so you go to one of these rallies and you find that one after the other, the showbiz people are up there. All kinds of showbiz people are saying, I want to tell you, friends, I believe that as an actor, it's my duty, you know, folks. I believe it's to, after all, actors are no different from other people. We're really not, friends. Because thank you very much. There's a parade forming out here in front. They're just emptying the basket. save me a little ticker tape there, fellas. I might get carried away here. Thank you very much. That's all right. Oh, hello there. Yeah, hey there. We're in the middle of this fantastic fandango. This beautiful, beautiful ballet that we take part in. And I'm sitting in the middle of a rally a couple of nights ago. And everybody is screaming wildly until finally the candidate comes on. And the most fascinating thing then began to develop. I'm watching the people when the candidate is speaking. And half of them are not even listening. Beyond the first few moments where they wanted to glimpse him. Once they had glimpsed the candidate, once they had seen the candidate, their attention wandered quickly. And they're just sort of looking around and picking at their, you know, their face and pulling their hat down over their ears. They're waiting for the next celebrity to come on. They are tired of this celebrity. Fascinating that the guy that comes on and sings this song, he gets on and he sings something like, some guy comes on and sings a real romantic song. Somebody else comes on and sings a pop tune. Someone comes on and tells about his latest picture. And everybody's excited. And well, this guy comes, makes his little bit, and then as soon as he gets to the point where he's staying just a little too long, their attention wanders. Well, they treat the candidate exactly like this. And I'm beginning to wonder how many people in this world are asleep. I mean, what is, people are sort of are sleepwalking. They're walking through a dream waiting for the next big event to happen, the next big news story to happen. But all the things that seem to occur in the world are part of a gigantic script of some kind. I don't know what in the world it quite is all leading to. I don't know what I'm even trying to say here, except that there is a quality of profound unreality about so many of the comments. In fact, I'm standing in a crowd last night, and there's a guy with a big button on his lapel. And he's hollering, waving flags, and so on. And by the way, he was mad for Kennedy, so he's waving, he's hollering, he's always real mad because all the other guys are going past are for the candidate he doesn't like. So he's hollering, and he's got a big button. And I turn to him and I says, who are you voting for? Are you voting for Ike or Nixon? And he says, I'm voting for Eisenhower! I says, he's not running. He goes, I'm voting for Eisenhower! I'm a bum, you bums, he's hollering. He's voting for a guy who isn't running. And I begin to realize there's a wild quality of Alice in Wonderland that the whole thing is taking on a kind of gigantic fandango. It's taking on the aspects of a sort of enormous square. Have you ever seen a square dance? Have you really ever seen a country square dance? I don't mean the kind down at Woolman Memorial Park in Central Park. I mean the real ones. Well, when I was a kid, there was a bunch of hillbillies moved in the neighborhood. And the nights were alive with hillbillies dancing the square dance in their living rooms. This was in the middle of the Depression when everyone was dancing a square dance anyway. It didn't really matter. I'm just a kid and I can remember all night long. Oh, swing your line, swing your line. Oh, mercy, nosy, 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 and they're going away there, and they're all dancing back and forth and making little squares and patterns and one kind another, and one guy hands off the chick to the next guy, and the next guy hands off the chick, and they go round and round and round. And he says, dozy do, dozy do, dozy do, and little girl behind him, ding a ding 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 ding. It goes on, and that was my first glimpse of how politics really are, and what we're really driving at. But we're living in great, wonderful times, and as a matter of fact, I will say that a large amount of what we seem to accept without even looking at, really, are the things which maybe 50 and 75, maybe 100 years from now, are going to be examined for their real content. And much of this appears in the most serious newspapers. For example, do you have your Gothic music in there? Anybody can dig up my Gothic. This has to go with the Gothic music. I'm torn between a desire to use Gothic music and banjo music behind this because it has elements of both. But there in the New York Times, get this, right there in the New York Times last Wednesday, and in fact, Wednesday, November the 2nd, 1960, I clipped this out of the Times. It's a beautiful picture. There it is, you see. Bring it out. That's Gothic music, the sound of our lives. Marching through that great, great arched cavern, the empty cavern of our souls. Do you have stained glass windows in your soul? Or do you have picture windows? And there it is, Wednesday, November 2nd, 1960, the New York Times. A picture of a cutaway of a luxury fallout shelter is shown in those hallowed gray pages of that great journal of our world, the New York Times. And I don't mean this sarcastically. I literally mean that great journal of our times, the New York Times. I will read to you at the description of the luxury fallout shelter as displayed, let's see, 4 days, 4 days before a major election. A fallout shelter with wall-to-wall carpeting, television, and scrabble went on display yesterday at the New York City Civil Defense Headquarters at Lexington Avenue and 55th Street, right in the heart of Babylon, right in the heart of the East Side. Rents are high over there, 55th and Lexington. The deluxe shelter is designed as a combination family room during peacetime, and a family fallout shelter should war break out. The shelter is above ground. Besides television, lounge chairs, and soft carpeting, the room is equipped with shovels and a sledgehammer. And on the carpet lies a Scrabble set. Whoever was playing had his mind on serious problems, the Scrabble player, for the set spells out Civil Defense Shelter. Civil Defense Shelter spelled out on a Scrabble board in a deluxe edition of a fallout shelter. What a
ticker tape. Real, the real stuff. Does anybody want any real ticker tape? We got plenty of it here. And by the way, all the stocks listed are high.
It's going to make it a lot easier to throw.
Oh, one thing that surprises me, that makes me really wonder, what do people think it's going to be like in a fallout shelter when there is an atomic or nuclear attack going on? What television shows do they think they will be able to see? Could you imagine a fallout shelter with a television set installed? What dream world is this? Do they think that I Love Lucy is going to come through on schedule? Do they? Of course they do. They expect probably to see the reassuring face of a general on a TV screen during an attack. But, there won't be anything. It doesn't even make electrical sense.
Yes. All God's children got wings. All's got them big old dreams. Sitting down there in my deluxe fallout shelter with the TV set on playing Scrabble. Waiting out Armageddon.
Now this is just one little thing. Out of one paper. And out of the same paper, on the same day, another little note. We're living in wild, wonderful times, and my only debt to society, because apparently I have the mind of a chipmunk and the general attitudes of a homeless squirrel, that my apparent duty to mankind is to collect these things and put them into a hollow tree trunk for long, cold winter nights, you see, so that we can savor our lives, we can chew them. Because after all, that's all that an artist ever does. I mean, that's all that John Dos Passos ever did. That's all that Cervantes ever did, was to point out the way it was. May I have the sound more of Gothic music? I will read another note from the same paper the same day. This is the sort of thing that makes our time the wild, strange, discordant, beautifully harmonious, atonal, whipping, screaming in the wind time that it actually is. It's a kind of amalgam of everything, and everything is so much on the surface now. There was a time when things were hidden, put under carpets. Things perhaps were not apparent. But today now, the things which were hidden and put under carpets and thrown down the hot air registers on Monday afternoons when no one was looking, become prime poetry, become prime revelatory visions of our time and our place. And the great literary epics rise and fall. And so now I read to you a review of an artistic event of our time, written with beautiful deadpan solemnity by the New York Times reviewer. Last night, some friends and other curious people gathered at the Living Theater, where John Cage was telling some stories, while David Tudor provided some accompanying sounds. Some of them were Zen Buddhist stories, some were about his friends, some were about mushrooms, and others were about none of these things. Some of them were amusing, some of them were instructive, but most of them were just stories. Each of them was apparently supposed to last a minute, but some of them were very long, and some were very short. So in order to get them all within the space of a minute, some had to go very fast, while others went very slowly. David Tudor sometimes hit the piano with a hammer, and sometimes he switched on a tape recorder or the radio. Sometimes, what with the tape recorder, the piano, and the radio all going on at once, you couldn't hear the stories at all. But Mr. Cage didn't seem to mind. After a while, he read an announcement saying that coffee was being served outside, and some people got up just to get some, apparently. Mr. Cage and Mr. Tudor went right on, and may still be going on. The title of the event was Indeterminacy. Indeterminacy. New aspect of form in instrumental and electronic music.
Indeterminacy is a concept and a term made famous by Werner Heisenberg, the physicist. I looked for him last night to find out what he thought. But he probably was still in Germany, where he lives.
Oh, no, just the next one. We are living in times
that must be spoken of, that must be written about, times that must be choreographed, and certainly times that must be put into brochures and presentations, so that those who come after will be able to understand just a little bit of how it was. I'm walking along 6th Avenue the other day, and across my feet was blown a poster in solemn blue and stark white. And the poster reads, 1960, November 6th to the 12th, Cat Week International. And there's a picture of a gigantic spinning globe that is dwarfed by the head of a gigantic cat. Excuse me, there's a parade going to the studio. Follow me and bring yo-yos. I lead the way to a new world. I won the Diogenes contest. Down with doubt, up with gullibility. Hail, men. Hail, operators. Hail, all mankind. Down with doubt, up with gullibility. By the way, how long has it been since you've been properly gulled, my friends? You know that the word gullibility does come from the word gull? Have you ever heard? I'll never forget the phrase when I first heard it. It was a tall, thin, taciturn stranger who sat next to me on an L&M Peoria local. He was wearing a black broadcloth suit, I recall. Crossed his legs carefully. Looked me up and down solemnly with the eye of a man accustomed to such activities. He opened his mouth to speak, and immediately I realized that I was in the presence of a great, great personage.